annoy me. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless each one. And that's what we want. Fresh oil and anointing. Praise God. I'm not going to hold you as long. Just scriptures I want to read. A few comments. No sermon as such. Just a few scriptures, mostly from the book of Acts. And I know I've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to talk again about it tonight. And the Lord bless each one that's came out tonight. Praise God. The early church, we know, was filled with the Holy Spirit. They were possessed with the power of God. And we want to read Acts 2, verse 4, just for an opening scripture. Acts 2, verse 4. And we know it started with 120 in the upper room, didn't it? The power of God fell. Acts 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's pray again tonight. Praise God. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just humbly, reverently bow before you tonight. In the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the songs we've been singing and the words we've been singing. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we plead the merits of your precious blood afresh in this house, on each and every one in it tonight. Lord, forgive us for every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us, wash us, cleanse us, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, you see the hands that's raised. You know every heart and every need, every situation. And I pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will meet every need for asking in Jesus' precious name. Pray again for me, Auntie Eiling, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that you'll know the touch and power of God in her life. Pray for Brother Brian in Australia, that he, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet and heart as well, that the both of them will know the touch of God over their lives in Jesus' precious name. Pray for my sister Andrea. I'll continue to touch her and be with her. Move upon her, Lord. And Father, for each one, all in her families is still not saved. We claim every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife under the precious blood of the Lamb of God, under the token. We claim them and pray that the Holy Ghost will go to work on every one of them and that they'll be saved and moved by the power of God. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me now. I need your help, your unction, your anointing. But I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I pray the Holy Spirit will move in this room and every individual tonight, that they may know the presence and the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. Acts 2, 4. Where the Holy Spirit fell on them and they speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you can follow with me tonight or if you want to write it down, but Mark 16, 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Acts 4, 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. So I tell you, everywhere the Spirit of God moves, something happens. There's no such thing as the Spirit of God moving and nothing happening. And we know in Mark, we're promised the tongues, and in Acts they got the tongues. And I know everybody goes back till it was languages and they preached them, and that's true. But there's many tongues. There's diverse kinds of tongues, the Bible says. Mark 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God have given to them that obey him. So when we obey the Lord, we are promised the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? That's why we want to live for God and obey God, because we are promised the Holy Spirit. So the converts Also here, we're going to go to Acts 8, and I'm reading scriptures from Acts, and I'm not going to be long tonight. I just want to read you, remind you and remind me, and then we're going to pray for a time and go tonight, praise God. But there's many converts here in Samaria in Acts 8, verse 14 to 17. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. But they'd received the word of God, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Now a lot of people say when you get the word, that's it. You get the word, you've got the Holy Spirit, and that's it. But these fellas got the word. Now they really got it. And remember who they got it from. They got it from men that were anointed and sent to God. They got the word of God. But they still hadn't got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Peter and John were down in verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now I'll tell you, people often say, well, why isn't it poured out and why isn't it given in here and there and yonder? It won't be. Because when there's certain people believe they already have it, though they haven't it. And groups believe they've got everything and that's all done and dusted now. And there's nothing more for them and they're happy. So you can't give it to them. God won't force it. He won't force it. A gift's not forced. A gift's given and received. And you see, the Holy Spirit's a gift that's given and must be received. It'll not be forced. But when you have people say, we've got the word, and that's it, we don't need nothing else, we've got the word. Now that is true, but the Holy Spirit still were given to these fellows that got the word. And it's part of the word to get the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And we heard the word of God, we've been converted, and we want the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. Look at verse, for the Holy Ghost, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now this is interesting, because some people are adamant, if you don't get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot get the Holy Spirit. But yet these fellows were never baptized in water. Look at this again, let me read it again. For as yet the word baptized, for as yet the Holy Ghost fall upon them, only they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were baptized right. What's that mean when you're baptized right? It means you're a candidate for it. Amen. I was thinking of another scripture in my head. That's what knocked me off a bit. But you understand what I'm saying? These fellows were baptized in water and still having the Holy Spirit. Some people think when you go in the water that it's a sort of a magic thing and you'll get it. But you have to go in it right. You have to go in the water right. You had to be repentant. The water won't cleanse any sins off you. There's no power in the water to take no sins off you. Only the blood of Jesus does that part. Amen. It does that. It's an obedience going in the water. And we already read he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. So if people of God want to be obedient, they go in the water to be obedient. And then the Holy Spirit, the candidates for the Holy Ghost. And these fellows were certainly candidates, verse 17. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Chapter 9, verse 17. This is Ananias. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him. Said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou comest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The bit that amazed me when I first saw this, and I know I've mentioned this a lot, and maybe I'm going back over scriptures, but Paul met with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He met with the Lord, and he still hadn't got the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? So when a fella, no matter what sect or belief somebody's from, I've got the word. You hear them. We don't need to name anybody in particular. But there's some people and they say, we've got everything now. We've got the word. We're revelatoried and have all sorts of names now. New names and new doctrines. But these fellas here, I tell you, Paul met the Lord. Now, you're not going to tell me any different. Paul had some experience. Paul was called. Paul was changed. But he was blind. And he hadn't got the Holy Spirit. But he was sent to this man, and this man knew he was coming. And he laid his hands on him and prayed for him. And his eyes were opened. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, you don't read Paul here speaking in tongues. And you go back to chapter 8, you don't read that he spoke in tongues. Now, they might have done, but you don't read it. But yet Paul says, in another part, I speak in tongues more than anybody. So he believed in tongues. But you know what happened? We've come through a dispensation where tongues was, everything was tongues. Tongues was the evidence. Tongues was the thing. And people were praying for tongues, not the Holy Spirit. They're praying for the tongue. Not really the Holy Spirit. But like I said, when I went for the shoes, I never said, give me a pair of tongues. I said, give me the shoes. Tongues was in them. God could give you tongues. God could give you prophecy. But you'll get something. You'll get the Holy Ghost. The important thing is to get the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it's the important thing is just the tongues. I believe that's wrong. That people put in evidence that you must speak in tongues. I do not believe that myself. I believe in tongues and I talk in tongues. But I don't believe that's the evidence that you have it. You could prophesy. There's other things you could do and have the Holy Spirit. So people, it's a cliche. Speaking in tongues is initial evidence of the Holy Spirit. The charismatic, talk in tongues. The charismatic movement, talk in tongues. Now, think of this for a moment. They're talking tongues. They claim they're baptized with the Holy Spirit and they're talking tongues. But yet, they're not obeying what we read here earlier. Because they still pray to the Virgin Mary. I have all the books on it. I know what I'm talking about. It's still going on, an ecumenical movement, and they believe in the Holy Spirit, they talk in tongues, they operate gifts, but they still pray to the Virgin Mary. Now, if you have the genuine Holy Spirit, he'll not lead you to pray to the Virgin Mary. The genuine Holy Spirit will uplift and glorify Jesus. So I don't care if they have tongues and I don't care what they have, and I believe in tongues. But it's not the evidence. In my opinion, it's not the evidence. I don't believe it's the evidence. Because there's scriptures here for the never talking tongues. And the scriptures for the dead talking tongues. So if it was that for everything, it would happen every single time. There's places where they prophesied. And you know, the real thing that happened in Acts 2 was another language that they never learned. So like, let's say me and Brother Gary went over to Switzerland. And one of us got up to preach, and all of a sudden we just burst out and preached them a sermon in their language in Switzerland. That's what it was like on the day of Pentecost. Whatever the language it was, God gave them it, and they never learned it. That's the supernatural power of God. God does that. And I've told you before that God can still do it. I've heard so many testimonies where it's happened. The household of Cornelius and at Caesarea in Acts 10, verse 44 to 46, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also has poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at this. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter says, can any man forbid water? So these fellas weren't baptized yet. Now I want to make a point of this. The other group was baptized in water, then they got it. This group gets the Holy Spirit before they ever were near water. So that's not the water that gives you it. It's God that gives you the Holy Spirit. But both groups got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Both groups. because they were obeying the word. Amen. So it's an act of obedience. And he gives the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we know John tells us, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So in the Nicaea communicant, I'm going to preach on it in another, in more depth. I can't do it tonight. But it's a false movement. It's a totally false movement. I don't believe they're born again. Now, you might think different about that. That'll make no difference to me. I'm convinced they're not born again. The Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to Rome. It will not lead you to call them on Father. It will not lead you to pray to the Virgin Mary other than praying to the Lord Jesus. That is another spirit. And yet with all, they can have the evidences, what they class as an evidence. But yet with all, something's wrong. Can the fountain bring forth bitter and sweet at the same place? You see, it's like William Branham talked about the lemon tree, with the grafted in the lemons in the orange tree. And you know the grafted them in. But he said of the root, the original root of the orange tree, if it grew forth, it wouldn't produce a lemon because it's an orange tree. But the lemons grafted in, it's producing lemons, not oranges. Now, I never knew what that meant till I went to Australia. I'm but honest about it. Maybe other people knew all about it, but I didn't. And probably other people did, especially if you're in the gardening. You know what it means to graft someone in. Now, Brian took me out in the vineyards there, and the way it works is, just let's say, we'll call the man George. I don't know who he is. Just say George owns the vineyard. And George's grapes are producing the red wine, because of the type of grapes you are. But red wine's no longer the thing. They need a different color, a different type. He will then graft in another vine into the root of that one that produced the red ones. He'll slice it, he'll graft it in, and they tape it in, and they put different wheat things on it to help it grow and all the rest of it. And then they prune back the original so that it can't grow, and they let the one that's grafted in do the growing. And they keep pruning back the original, killing it off. And they grow the one that's grafted in, and it grows, the new vine grows from the original root. But it's living off the original root. But it's not growing the red grapes, because it's fake in the sense that it's not red. We'll say it's white for the sake of it. It's producing the white ones, but it can't produce red because it's not coming out the original root. And William Branham said that's what happens. If the Holy Spirit ever is really poured out, it will produce and bring another book of Acts behind it. That's what it'll do. But it won't leave the Word of God. It won't leave the Word and bring you up so that we believe in the Word of God. I'm not a bit irreverent when I said earlier about the Word. We believe in the Word of God. But we believe in the Holy Spirit as well. We want the whole thing, don't we? Amen. And there's movements tonight. There's movements tonight claimed to be having big movements. But it's charismatic. And it's sweeping the world. And people's flooding into it and joining into it. And look, we're having a revival and all these things. But what's a doctrine? What's a doctrine? And you go on any of these sites today. You go on anywhere at all and you'll up on it 5 minutes. For some doll's up the front. And she's a pair, you know, what do you call them? Pant things or whatever you call them on. You know what I'm talking about? Leggings. And she's preaching and she's giving people fire and all. And all these different sayings and all. Get the fire and get this and get that and get the rest of it. Then when you go back into Corinthians, that can't happen. Paul condemns that. But we're in an age, people don't want to hear anything like that. That's far too straight of a line for them. That they'll hear the like of that. That a woman's to listen in silence. I believe a woman can operate in the gifts of God. Absolutely. I believe that. But I don't believe there's women pastors and all them. There's prophetesses. Absolutely. But there's nowhere in the Bible for there's women. I mean, you know when the Lord called the 12, which one of them was a woman? Now they'll say we go back to the beginning, but well, there were. Then you take you back to the cross and he sent two women. They make it their wee own pet doctrine, and they pat it on the head. And you're not like, I know all about it. I've traveled with women preachers. I travel with them. Across the world, I travel with women preachers. And I know how they operate. And I know women that God used them. And I know someone could preach better than a man. And then they'll say, well, there you are, there's your evidence. They're doing a better job than the men. But then how far does that go? Because it can bring you into a natural perversion then, in the natural. And where do you stop with that then? But when you go to the Bible, that's where your absolute is. Suffer a woman not to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but be in subjection. That's the Bible. But you can move in the Holy Spirit, dreams and all them things. We believe that. Absolutely. But I'll tell you one thing. Some of these ones that's going about on the fire, that's all. I'm not putting a reverend tonight, but it's pure nonsense. Let's be honest about it. It's absolute rubbish. The apostles never worked like that. Now, I'm not saying there's women of God, yes, that could pray for you and you'd get the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But some of the stuff that's going about, it's fake. It's absolutely fake. Totally fake. And you know there's so many today moving as discernment, trying to copy what William Branham done, and they're working with witches. They're actually witches. Now, I'm telling you now, they're witches. They're not even men and women of God. Some of them is actually witches. And they've got spells on them and everything. But if they ever come in contact with the real power of God, I'll tell you what, it'll stop right there. That's the truth. And I told you about the man in Africa. And I tell you, what type of a boy puts curses on people? What type of a spirit is that? Now, you know in the Bible, when the disciples were going to work like that, the Lord asked them, what type of spirit are you like? You, Elijah worked like that. You know where the bears run out and tore the wee lads. Old bald head, you know that. So I know God can do some things like that. But why would you want to put curses on somebody? The Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you. But this boy was putting a curse on me. He was going to curse me. Because I knew he was false. And I challenged him. I challenged him that he was false. And he was letting on his work of discernment, but it was fake. It was a fake discernment. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit told me what was wrong with the young woman. And I'm not boasting, I'm just being honest. And what he told her was opposite. And not one thing he told her was right. And you know, the young girl was in a bad shape. You know what actually happened to her? I'll tell you what happened to her. Some fella got engaged to her, broke her heart, and let her down. And she was taking it bad. But he went all this whole palaver stuff. It was all false and all fake. And I pulled him on it. And I said, the Holy Ghost doesn't make mistakes. And I says, you're telling everybody you have the same ministry William Branham had. But I says, he told a woman one time her address, and when they checked it up later, because they thought he'd made a mistake, she'd moved house. He gave the new address. They were thinking the old address. The Holy Spirit knows you, right? Everything about you. Now, if the Holy Spirit's going to give you something about something, he can give you as much detail as he wants to give you. It won't be guessing. It'll be 100%. Amen. He asked for them to be baptized in water because the Holy Ghost had come upon them and they spoke with tongues and they got baptized. Acts 11, 15, 17. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So when some people say the way the Holy Spirit was given Acts at the beginning, it can never ever be given again like that. Well, in chapter 11 here, it's been given the same way again. That's what it reads here. Now, it's in chapter 11, it's been given the same way again. And then Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, it's the same. He can give it the same way again tonight. Isn't that the truth? Absolutely. Verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Chapter 15, verse 7 to 9 of Acts. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto the men, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now this is the same Peter that wouldn't go to the Gentiles because they're unclean. And you know the sheep fell down before him of all, and the voice said, take and eat. And he said, no, I can't. There's no way to eat that stuff. Amen. It's like a fellow I heard saying, you have to think back. Think back to a time when there was a Jewish here, an influence. This was Jewish. But God was turning from the Jews to the Gentiles. And think you put the old pig in the spit, the Jews wouldn't have touched it, a barge pole. They would not have touched the pig done in the spit. How could they ever dare get in fellowship with you or me, and Gentiles, filthy brutes, eating a pig? That was what they thought. And that was Peter's mindset. You have to understand Peter thought like that. But God changed it. And God brought everything down before him. And he says, go on ahead, Peter, and eat it. No, I've never done anything. Boy, he rolled out the religious carpet, didn't he? You know, the goody two-shoes, as I talk about. And he was good. He had done it. Look, he had kept all the laws, perhaps, and all them things. Maybe he didn't eat none. But the Lord said, don't call what I've cleansed unclean. And the Lord was saying, I'm going to give them the Holy Spirit as well. Now you think of it, and I've quoted it. And Wigglesworth was at a big convention. I think it was a bit of a Jew in Wigglesworth. Because Wigglesworth was at a convention. And the fellow said to them, I want you to give grace, but they had a pig on the spit. And Wigglesworth prayed and he said, Lord, if you can bless that pig that you have cursed on ahead. That's right. No, that's like, what do you say? He's a man of God. What do you say to that? Most of them would just say, thank you, Lord, give him a slice of the pig. Isn't that the truth? But I'm just bringing the point out. Some things that we class God can't do, but God will do. And God, you see, turned to the Gentiles. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. And here they are. Verse 8. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts. What about the disciples at Ephesus? Acts 19, verse 1 to 6. And it came to pass that Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, we are baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said John, verily baptized with baptism and repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him which had come after him, that's in Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they're re-baptized. And you know that we tracked years ago, all emphasizing re-baptism. And a lot of people were offended because people were told, you were never baptized, you were dipped in water, but you didn't really get baptized scripturally in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you need to get re-baptized. And a lot of people didn't like that. Now, I know it's a bit different because it was the baptism John was given. But John was doing it in the name of the Lord in the Old Testament style for the Lord coming. But they were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You know there's one place that says greater is he that prophesies. Amen. See the proclaimed by Peter to all who will fulfill the conditions. That's what Peter proclaimed in Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Now, I remember years ago quoting that scripture to a well-educated man, and I'm not condemning the man. He's a good man. He's doing big things today. He's doing real big things, and I'm glad to hear it. But he says to me, Peter must have made a mistake. Now, that's an educated man. That went through all the Bible colleges. And I said, brother, if Peter made a mistake, we have a problem. Because what good's the rest of the Bible then? Did somebody else make a mistake? You cannot work like that. The Bible, it's got the absolute. It is an infallible word of God. It's even like somebody saying, I heard a man saying, I'm quoting you Paul. And then he referred it to quoting somebody else. But there's a difference. I'm sorry, but there's a difference. God's word's vindicated. God's word's vindicated to be God in flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 1. This word's all about the Lord. Somebody else's might not be. It could be a bit of their own. But they were inspired. Holy men of God speak. It's not just a quotation from some wee preacher man. These are men of God, inspired of God. This is the word of God. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Look at the precepts from the epistles, Ephesians 5:18. And I'm going to have to close. Time's gone. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Weymouth's translation, this is what it says. Drink deeply of God's Spirit. That's the way it translates that verse. Now, this is just a part of it, the last part. But be filled with the Spirit, drink deeply of God's Spirit. So God wants us to drink deeply of His Spirit. You know, when you're thirsty, you know, let's put it like this. Go back from now, 2 months ago. And wherever you're working at, and I'm working outside and others are, but even if you're working inside, maybe it's even you drink more. You take a couple of them wee bottles with you. And I'll tell you, at 1 o'clock, they're gone. Now, this time of year, take them 2 wee bottles with you, and if you're going home with one of them, maybe you still. You haven't drunk the 2 of them. Because the change in the climate has affected your thirst. Mm-hmm. We're no longer in summer. We're coming into winter. We're not as thirsty. But may God keep us in a spiritual summer. Spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? That we're thirsty. That we will want to drink even now. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17, 18. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed, unto the day of redemption. I met a man, he believes he can be saved and he can be lost. Now, you'll not admit that when you say to him, do you preach saved and lost? Oh, no, I don't. You're either saved or lost. They'll say, this is what they say, you're either saved or you're lost. We know that. We believe that. But a man that has been saved is not lost. Just because he doesn't match a certain doctrine, he's still not lost. He's still saved. Now, but he made mistakes. Who hasn't? Who hasn't? If making a mistake losses him, we're all finished. We're not saved for what we've done. We're saved for what he done. Amen. It's like Brother Gary once said to me, he's as well saved. He was as well saved then as he'll ever be saved. There's no such thing as getting saved better in 2 years' time than you were when you first got saved. That's a true fact. Once you're saved, you're saved. But there can be more for you in the sense of more of God, more of the Spirit of God and all them things. But once you're saved, I believe you're always saved. But this Holy Spirit, you're sealed. On to the day of redemption. No, wonderful. Sealed. It's not powerful. Ephesians 1 verse 13, 14. And whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When? After you believed. After you believed, you were sealed. Verse 14. which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, you're a purchased possession, and I am. We're redeemed. That means you're purchased. You're bought. We are bought tonight with the blood of Jesus. I'm going to have to close. I've more scriptures. We're going to come to close because I want to give a bit of time to pray. And I don't want to hold these too long. Isn't the Lord good? I hope you get something from the night. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. May God grant the baptism on every one of us. Power of God. Let's close our eyes tonight and let's pray and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward each and every single one of us. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll fill every one of us afresh with the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Spirit fall upon us, as one of them verses has said. Lord, we do believe in your gifts and we covet earnestly for the best gifts. Lord, we definitely need the gift of healing amongst us and discernment in these evil days, Lord Jesus. Father, bless each one tonight and every home individually here tonight. And those that couldn't be here tonight, bless them. And pray for wee Laurie, Lord, as he comes on Sunday morning to preach. Pray a bless and strengthen wee brother Laurie. Lord, that you'll give him your grace, your strength, your mercy. That your hand will be upon him and the people will be blessed. And the enemy will be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless and undertake a prayer, Lord Jesus, for, Lord, about some of us as children that's maybe not even in this country or away, or even the children that's here. We pray for every one of them that you'll save them, that you'll deliver them, and they'll come to know you, Lord Jesus, as their own personal Savior. Father, help us as we continue tonight. Keep us safe. Watch over us and prosper your people, those that need a blessing. Lord, financially, I pray you'll prosper them and bless them, run them over the top. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless us. We continue. Pray for Brother Laurie. He's going to be preaching Sunday morning.